Well, thank you, Beth. You set a high bar when you say tax lawyers can talk to the rest of us, but we're going to try at least for a minute. In any event, Christine was kind enough to introduce our subject today, and we want to talk about target allocations. And I want to get a little bit deeper than Christine was able to do during her presentation. All of you who deal with limited liability companies that are taxed as partnerships or partnerships know that the entity doesn't pay the tax. Partners pay the tax or members pay the tax. And so to allow those partners or members to pay the tax, we have to find a way to allocate the profits and losses of the business entity to them. And as all of us know who have clients, cash is king. The clients want to know what the business deal is. They want to know that they're going to receive the cash that they expect to receive at the end of the day. And so we as tax lawyers try to make a living by helping business lawyers get the cash to the people that are supposed to get it when they're supposed to get it. And that's the genesis, frankly, of what target allocations are. Today, I'm going to do three different things. One is I'm going to talk about some important tax provisions that we have to cover to understand profit and loss allocations, which is what we're really here to talk about today. Next, I'm going to talk about the tax regulations and the genesis of where the substantial economic effect rule that Christina mentioned came and why it doesn't work in some instances, or at least is perceived not to work in some instances because it's so complex. And finally, I'm going to talk about target allocations in a bit more depth than the prior panel was able to do. We're going to at least see in a general way how target allocations work and why a lot of people use them today, many more than use the regulatory allocation provisions. And so, with that, Bill is going to chime in when he wishes, I think. He's the inquisitor, he always keeps me moving ahead and in order. But to kick it off, I think I'll just mention that what we're going to do today is talk about how cash and property distributions are made to the partner. Why do we start there? Because that's the business deal that the partners have agreed to. Notice that I talk about partners. That's because I'm a federal partnership tax lawyer. When I speak of partners, I also mean members in a limited liability company that are treated as partners for federal tax purposes. So just to be clear. The point is, we want to know what the business deal is. Well, it's hidden in the distribution provision in our agreement. Then we want to learn how can we make the income gain loss deduction, or as I would prefer to refer to it as profits and losses, that the partnership's operations or when the partnership sells and liquidates, how are those profits and losses allocated to the partners? Finally, third, I'm going to talk about partnership capital accounts. They are things that you should have run across. I'm sure you have in partnerships. They're mentioned in the Business Organizations Code in the partnership area. Well, they also apply by federal tax law, at least in the to LLCs, even though they're not mentioned in Chapter 101 of the BOC. We have to keep up with capital accounts because that's the way the Treasury regulations deal with who has economic investments in the partnership and how much is that worth. And finally, we need to talk briefly about liquidation and distribution of assets. With that, I'm going to begin talking about my favorite topic, which is the distribution provision. I say it's my favorite topic because the cash distribution provision, and it sometimes is divided into cash distribution provision and a property distribution provision. So you can have two, but in the garden variety partnership or member limited liability company, you'll just have one provision that provides how how property and cash are to be distributed to the partner. It's really the business deal. And a lot of times it's a very simple business deal. The partners are sharing profits in accordance with how much cash or property they contributed as compared to one another, or they may have some more or less arbitrary sharing percentage of profits, let's say 50-50. And then more often, you have a little bit more complexity where a partner puts in capital, one partner puts in capital, and another one doesn't put in any capital. That the partner who contributes the capital gets a preferred return on that capital and then gets that capital back before the two partners, let's call them A and B, split the profits. And finally, you can get some really, really complex distribution provisions, ones that, as were mentioned earlier, have preferences, preferred returns that are based on internal rates of return or multiples of invested cash. And you can have catch-up provisions where one partner gets all their money back and then the other partner gets to catch up. And so they can get very complex. And I'm just hitting the tip of the iceberg when I give you these simple examples. So distribution provisions, the thing you want to remember about distribution provisions is that's where I start first. I want to know what the partner's business deal is, and it's going to be found, if anywhere in the agreement, in the cash distribution provision.